Thank you. Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I hope you brought your Bible. Would you open with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Luke, chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let us pray. Father, bless these moments and minutes. May they be productive and profitable to every hearer. Bless thy word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says very clearly in verse 10 of chapter 19 of the Gospel of Luke why Jesus Christ came. Came to seek and to save that which was lost. He knew why he came. We also see in this passage of Scripture why Zacchaeus came. And it's good to know both. It's good to know why we came. It's good to know why he came. Here in this passage, we are in the middle of a journey. The Lord Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to the cross. We picked up the story a few weeks ago just outside of the city of Jericho, and there we encountered a blind man named Bartimaeus who was by the wayside begging. And there we had a wonderful picture of the mercy of God, for that was the supreme and great prayer request of Bartimaeus. Lord, have mercy on me. And that prayer caused the Lord Jesus to stop in his tracks. Even though he was on an important mission going to Calvary to die for the sins of the world, this plea for mercy by a blind beggar caused him to pause and to save a single soul. What we saw from that is that while Bartimaeus didn't have all of his senses, he had enough sense to know when Jesus was coming by, and it was the greatest opportunity of his life. He could not see, but he could hear. God always uses what we have, not what we don't have. I don't know what you have this morning or what you don't have. God knows, and he knows who can see, and he knows who can hear. And there Bartimaeus, by the wayside, is begging. We also saw that he was not even in the way any longer. He had sort of dropped out. He was broken down on the side of the road of life. The Bible says he was not in the way. He was on the side of the way, or the wayside, and that's where God finds most of us. He found us on the wayside. And it's not until we break down that generally we find ourselves there. And he knew what was wrong with him, and I hope that we know what is wrong with us. And the Bible tells us very clearly that our main problem, our major problem, is the problem of sin. And so the Lord is on a journey, chapter 18 and verse 28. And Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come." You see, the Lord Jesus was on his way to a world to come. And so are we. A lot of people somehow think that this is it, with their blind man's canes and beggar cups sitting along the wayside. Somehow they assume that this is it. And one of the purposes of the church is to remind people that there is a world to come. And the Bible very clearly makes it plain in verse 30. This is called life everlasting. The Lord Jesus was on his way to the cross, but he was also on his way to a world to come. Where are you on your way to? There the Lord Jesus passes through Jericho and he finds a man named Bartimaeus. He touches and changes and transforms his life. Verse 31, "And then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we now go up to Jerusalem, and all things that were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." Look at verse 34. "And they understood none of these things." Again and again, the Lord Jesus told them what he was going to do. He told them that he was going to Jerusalem. He told them that he would be arrested. He told them that he would be tried. He told them he'd be mocked. He told them he'd be crucified. He told them many times. And the Bible says, "And they understood none of these things." You see, our senses are broken. Our senses are broken. We cannot see him. We cannot hear him. We cannot feel him or touch him until the grace of God begins to work in our lives, like it did in the life of Bartimaeus, and God uses that little which we have remaining that we might find him. They understood none of these things. And the Lord was the one that morning that told them the lesson of his purpose of coming and what he was going to do specifically. "They're going to arrest me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to kill me. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again." And they understood. Look at it. "And they understood none of these things." You want to see something that Luke makes very plain and clear in his epistle, in his gospel? Take a look at chapter 24. And think of poor blind Bartimaeus, who had sensors that didn't work. He had eyes, but he couldn't see. Here in Luke chapter 24 and verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." He told them, but they understood none of these things. Until God opens up our understanding, it's just ink and paper. Until God opens up our understanding, it's just words. But when God opens our understanding, it's more than words. It is the Word of God come down. And there standing before us is the Word that became flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And suddenly the blinded eyes of Bartimaeus was able to see him. Wow. And that we can only attribute to the grace of God. He cried out for mercy, and the Lord had mercy on him. Well, let's move on. We know that the Lord is merciful, and that's why you and I are here. We have another experience this morning that tells us more of what the Lord is like in the life of Zacchaeus. Now, every little child knows about Zacchaeus. I don't have to tell most people about Zacchaeus. They all had heard the little song about Zacchaeus being a wee little man. A wee little man, a 3-year-old granddaughter knows about Zacchaeus. I don't know if anybody doesn't know about Zacchaeus. The little man who climbed up into a sycamore tree when Jesus was passing by. So you know the story. Somebody said that a tree is known by the fruit it bears. Well, there was one sycamore tree that bore fruit that day, and it yielded the harvest of a single solitary soul. What a tree it was. And it was a wonderful harvest. One life plucked from the branches that day, as a coal plucked from the fire for the branding. Zacchaeus was saved one day. The Bible tells us some things about this Zacchaeus and tells us some things about ourselves. There in verse number 2 of Luke 19, if you look at it, please. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, is there anybody here this morning who would say, Ingemar, that's me, I'm rich? Probably not. I've even met people that I thought were rich, and if you ask them, they'll say, I'm not rich. How much does a person have before they say, I'm rich? I don't know what Zacchaeus' net worth was. I don't know how much he had. But this is amazing that here God looks at Zacchaeus' bank account and records for us what he probably would not have said for himself, although he, in comparison, thought himself far better off than others, that he was rich. And I think it's there in the Bible for a reason. There are certain riches that you cannot put in a balance book. There are certain riches that you cannot put in a pocketbook. There are certain riches that cannot be listed in a bank book. And there are riches and there are riches. Peter and John went up to the temple to pray, and the beggar said, give me alms. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Lazarus, rise up and walk. I don't think there's a person here this morning who has ever had the privilege of looking inside an apostle's purse. While there might have been moths that flew out, there were riches that cannot be calculated. The riches of God's grace. I don't know if Zacchaeus would have said that he was rich. Luke said he was rich, and I believe the Holy Spirit wanted us to know that by all reasonable standards of accounting, Zacchaeus was doing well. He was, by the world's standard, he was rich. And why does the Holy Spirit think we need to know that? Because we're about to witness a greater miracle. There are most people today in Raleigh who admit that blind beggars need to be saved. But for the life of them, they cannot imagine that they themselves need to be saved. They're doing quite well, thank you very much. There are people living in Iraq. There are people living in Afghanistan. There are people that are living in Africa today that would go to your modest home and leave it saying, wow, those people are rich. It's a relative thing. It's a comparative thing. And you go to the Philippines and hold out a gospel tract, and I dare you to find people that will not take it. If you do, you'll found the rich man. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, sir, it's about Jesus. No, thank you. But go to a poor man and hold out a gospel tract, and he'll take it and he'll walk away reading it. I'm saying that this is the greater miracle. God's about to save a hard case. He's about to save a rich man. Saving a poor man is one thing. Giving a blind man like Bartimaeus
His eyesight is wonderful when he saw the light. And we call it a miracle, but there's about to take place a greater miracle. A rich man's going to find out how poor he's always been.
And he's going to find out about the riches of God's grace. A greater miracle. So the Bible tells us that he was rich. In other words, you're about to witness an amazing thing. Because Jesus says in another place, just a chapter and a half before this, that it's very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Hard.
As a matter of fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. He doesn't need anything. He's got people who do stuff for him. And if he doesn't have it, he can get it.
It's hard for a rich man to be saved. And we're about to witness such in the life of a man named Zacchaeus. The Holy Spirit thought it was necessary to put this little descriptive phrase in the Bible, and he was rich. Not only to show us that a greater miracle was about to take place, but also to show us that God cares about everyone. Take a look at verse number 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was chief among the publicans. That's not the Republicans, that's the publicans. That means he was a tax collector. We say, well, that is the Republican. No, it's not the Republican. That's the Democrat. I don't know.
He was a collaborator with the Roman government. He was a bureaucrat. And he was despised. There are certain people that we love to hate. This is him.
In every story, in every novel, in every saga, there's always somebody that we love to hate. Or else it wouldn't be a story. And even in our own lives, there are certain people that we don't care that much about. And God wants to remind us that there's not a single soul in all the world that he doesn't care about. And so he tells this story, and Luke is used as a vehicle to share with us the story of the life of Zacchaeus.
You see, Jesus had just finished raising Lazarus from the dead. And the crowds and the multitudes were teeming and overflowing and following him. And in the midst of all of the popularity, the Lord of glory had time for a blind Bartimaeus, and he stopped in his tracks and allowed him to see. Lord, have mercy on me. Give me my eyesight again. And the Lord had mercy on him. And the crowd swelled again even larger as they witnessed this miracle. And Bartimaeus joined the crowd, singing and praising God for his goodness and his greatness. And at that moment, he could have, the Lord Jesus, been catapulted to the very pinnacle of civil government and rule and reign. He was riding again on the crest of popularity, the likes of which Jerusalem had never seen. And he was about to crash upon its banks. Can you picture it? Can you picture the crowd? And suddenly comes upon one of the most hated and despicable, loathsome collaborators. And he could in a moment have used that popularity, the power, and the moment to make the crowd go wild with frenzy. For he stops and he pauses right under the limb and looks up. And what was he about to do?
Surely he would say like John the Baptist in the Jordan when he saw those come from Jerusalem, "You vipers! You serpents! You collaborators! Those despicable men who give their lives for the denarii, for the dollar, for the shekel, you despicable human beings. You betray your own people." And the people would have understood that. They would have said, yeah, let him have it. He's about to overthrow the Roman government and he's going to overthrow you. Can you picture it? That's what we would do today. That's what our politicians would do today, because they always have to have some enemy back in the corner that they can have a diatribe against. And it stirs up the crowd.
There he is, thinking that he is going to go by unseen. And the Lord stops and looks straight into his face, and he's about to speak. Can you imagine what must have gone on in the heart of Zacchaeus? Uh-oh, he sees me. What is he going to say? And all the eyes of the crowd are suddenly going to be looking up at me.
And the Lord Jesus shocks them all. And he kills Zacchaeus with his kindness. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. I must abide in your house today. He kills him with kindness. Wow. Somebody asks, what kind of Christian are you? What they mean is, what denomination? I hope I'm the kind. Because there are so many varieties and so many other kinds. I hope I'm the kind. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. I must abide in your house. The Bible says that the crowd didn't like it one bit. The Bible says that in a moment the tide turned. He knew the hearts of men, and he knew that they would turn on him as well. There in verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be the guest with a man that is a sinner.
There isn't a blind beggar on the Jericho road worth his salt that would have ever stepped across the threshold of Zacchaeus' house. Go into his house? Are you kidding? Be associated with this publican, this tax collector, this collaborator? There isn't a person in all that crowd that would have darkened the doorway of Zacchaeus, and yet the Lord Jesus,
in front of everybody. Do you remember when Peter refused to sit with the Gentiles? When the Jewish elders came to inspect what was going on, remember? Oh, I'll sit down and I'll have something with you. But oh, here come the brethren from Jerusalem. And Peter got up and moved, remember? And Paul rebuked him. The Lord Jesus, in front of everybody, was kind to Zacchaeus. I think we need some more of the kind. My Bible says that God so loved the world, and that included Zacchaeus.
The Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost, and there wasn't a man that was more lost than Zacchaeus. For it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven.
And how was it that his life was changed in a moment? How was it that he came down from that tree that day different? And when his feet again hit the ground, he was walking with God and walking for God. I think it's very interesting if you look at it. Verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now, of course, he had to climb the tree. Everybody that's ever heard the Bible knows that little Zacchaeus climbed the tree. He was in the sycamore tree. He overcame difficulties and obstacles, and someone said he went out on a limb to see Jesus. That's all true. He wanted to see Jesus. That's why most people here this morning, I think, They want to see Jesus. And that's why a place like this assembly exists. Because people need to see Jesus. But notice something here in verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. I think every word in the Bible is there for a reason. I don't think that there's an accident at all. And there are a lot of people who come to a place like this to see Jesus was. There are many people who open up this blessed book with the same motive and motivation that was in the heart of Zacchaeus to see who Jesus was. Isn't that what it says there? It says it in the Greek as well, the past tense. I want to see who Jesus was. It's one thing to see who he was. It's another thing to see who he is.
When he climbed that tree that morning, he climbed it for the purpose to see who Jesus was. But something happened between heaven and earth while he was out on that limb. Suddenly he saw who Jesus is.
And there's a big difference. I came to a place that was similar to this. And when they began to talk, I too wanted to see who Jesus was. I thought I knew. I thought I knew who Jesus was. And that's why most people go to a place called a church, because they enjoy seeing once again who Jesus was. Have you seen who Jesus was? As you turn the pages of this precious book, having a motivation in your heart like Zacchaeus, maybe you went out and had to climb up onto a limb and you want to see who Jesus was. Isaiah will tell you he was despised and rejected. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Who was he? Well, he was wounded for our transgressions. Who was he? Well, he was bruised for our iniquities. That's who he was.
He was silenced before his shearers
and opened not his mouth. He was rejected. And yes, he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That's who he was. Oh, but you need to see who he is. Who he was is amazing. Who he is more amazing. Who he was the one who was born of a virgin. That's who he was. He was laid in a manger. That's who he was. He was the one who went about doing good. He was the teacher come from God. That's who he was. Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. And I challenge everyone to open up this book with the same motivation in their heart to see who Jesus was.
And if God opens up your understanding, as Luke describes in the 24th chapter, so that you can understand the scriptures, not only will you see who he was, but you will see who he is.
There are lots of people who go to museums and they look to see who George Washington was. Abraham Lincoln was. Winston Churchill was. And they'll look over and pick over the few remains that they left in this world and think they know who he was. And they'll look at the powdered white wig and think they'll know who he was. The wooden teeth they'll examine closely and they'll think they know who he was. They'll look at the black top hat of Abraham Lincoln in a glass case somewhere and stare at it and think they know who he was. There were two on the road to Emmaus who were disconsolate. Why are you sad while you're talking on the way? Haven't you heard what happened? We thought he was the one. They were talking about who they thought he was. Right? We thought he was the one.
They were talking about who they thought he was, and suddenly their eyes were open and they saw who he is. He said that I will be taken by sinful men and they will kill me.
Verse 33 of chapter 18. They will scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he will rise again. Yes, they put him to death. That was who he was. But he rose again. That is who he is. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve a risen Savior. Zacchaeus climbed the tree that day, and his expectations were low. At best, he hoped to see who he was. But the Son of God stopped right beneath that limb that day, and in a moment, Zacchaeus saw who he is.
Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down.
Now, how did he know Zacchaeus? He called him by name. Well, the Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. He knew everything about him, and yet he extended to him the hand of kindness. And he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. The only way someone can get saved is if they come down. Every one of us think too highly of ourselves.
Everyone, not just Zacchaeus. If you would go through the ledgers of Zacchaeus and look at his balance and look at his net worth, he would say, I've had a pretty good year. In his own estimation, he was rich, but he thought he could get richer, and he was doing a good job at it. As a matter of fact, his net worth was astounding and astonishing. And the Bible says that he was rich.
We think too highly of ourselves. Take a look at verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by, look at it right there, by false, you see it? By false accusation, says the King James Bible. You know what that is? That's false prophets. False prophets. I'm talking about the prophets and Baal. I'm talking about the balancing the books. False prophets.
And our country, America, is filled with false prophets. P-R-O-F-I-T-S. All the way from WorldCom to Enron Eli Lilly and everywhere else we look, we see false prophets, people accumulating ill-gotten gain. And that's exactly what was Zacchaeus' problem. And suddenly the spotlight of God's truth turned on Zacchaeus' heart. He saw the ledger of his life like he never saw it before. And suddenly the false prophet jumped out into his face and he saw himself a sinner.
One day God's going to balance the books. And every man's going to have to give an account. Zacchaeus was fortunate that day that the accountant came by. and went over his books. And he saw that he wasn't as rich as he thought he was. And he became poor in spirit. And he received the kingdom of God. Zacchaeus, come down. Look at it right there. Come down. That's why it's hard for a rich man to get saved. It's hard to come down. It's hard to humble yourself. And humble means to get low. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And there at that opportunity, at that moment, the accountant, the Lord of glory, went over Zacchaeus' book, and Zacchaeus saw that he had false prophets, and suddenly his heart was smitten, and he realized something. That without the Lord Jesus, he was a poor man, and that was the miracle. You notice something else here in this text. Verse 5. Zacchaeus, make haste. You see, Jesus was on his way to the cross. He had time to stop and reach out for one more sinner. But he was on the way to the cross. And it dawned on Zacchaeus that it was now or never. He climbed a sycamore tree to see who Jesus was. And he saw. And Jesus stopped and looked at him, and he saw who Jesus was. Jesus is. And then he saw who he was. And what he might become. And he made haste, and he came down. It was now or never. See, he would never go to Jericho again. That was the last time. He would never go there again. That was the last time.
Zacchaeus could have climbed that sycamore tree every day for the rest of his life and nothing would have happened. It was on that one day, that one moment, that one opportunity that Jesus Christ came by, and it was now or never.
What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? For somebody here this morning, it's now or never. I don't know who that might be. But that's an awful thought. If somebody would go out of here and say, well, I'll just come back and see if Jesus is coming by next Sunday. You might not have that opportunity. Jesus was on the way to the cross. And there he would die for the sin of the world. And died for Zacchaeus' sin. Zacchaeus saw who he was, and he also saw who he is. God sees who we are. And as I think of what I was, and what I am, and what by the grace of God one day I will be, I'm glad that day I saw Jesus. I accepted him as my Savior. And I know that if I die today, I'll go to heaven, not because I'm good, but because Jesus died for me. Zacchaeus was killed that day by kindness. He made haste. He came down. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus went home with him that day. Is Jesus going to go home with you today? Or are you going to sit there with yourself? He climbed a tree to see who Jesus was. I hope, as you look at the Word of God, you see who he was. But I pray that more than that, the Holy Spirit opens up your understanding. And you see who you are and who he is. He is the only Savior. Who is he? Well, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. Open up your heart as Zacchaeus opened up his home and let the God of glory and creation come in. Ah, there is riches indeed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day that you stopped in front of us and revealed who you are. Thank you for so great salvation. If there's someone here this morning who has seen who he was, help them also to see who he is. He is Savior. He is Lord. He is all in all. May they trust him today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a closing invitation, number 306, Just As I Am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Zacchaeus didn't have time to go home and change and put on a new face. He came just the way he was. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we invite you to do so right there where you stand. Open up your heart and let the Lord Jesus come in. Let's stand together as we sing number 306, Just As I Am.